Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, we have a two-part show. We start out with a pre-recorded program, which was done two Sundays ago at Chagall Bistro in the Park Slope area of Brooklyn. The second part, starting at 10 o'clock, will be done live with Vicky Rothschild, Weight Management Counselor.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene, bringing you a pre-recorded program that we took at a local restaurant in Brooklyn. Our guest this evening is Chef Extraordinaire, Executive Chef, Personal Chef, Sarah Black from Israel. Good evening, Sarah.
Good evening.
Tell us a bit about how you came to cooking. Tell us a bit about your background, your education.
Well, I grew up in and I turned out to be the oldest of 10 children. And taking care of them, I had to cook, discover the kitchen. Growing up in a British American home, the very good thing that I would eat was chicken soup, but not really more than that. I really had to experience the cuisine and find out for myself what I'd like to cook and present to my own family.
What was your education aside from cooking at home?
I had started with a very amateur cooking course because I've always wanted it in Jerusalem, and then decided that I would like to do this professionally. So I found a job in a 4-star hotel in Jerusalem, started working, and then traveling the world a little more. Traveled to Paris, to England, to New York. In Paris, I've cooked in Michelin star restaurants. Very non-kosher, but came back with my kosher interpretation and transformed it into kosher good food.
What was it like to cook without being able to taste?
The only thing I actually tasted was truffle, which is kosher and very, very good. It was quite difficult not to taste anything, but I'm hoping.
How could you be sure that it was actually good tasting?
You can smell it. And the basic thing that I've always learned was that when it goes with color, it goes with taste. And I was already having in my mind how I could change it to kosher food. If seafood looks good with the vegetables and, you know, the technique, why not do it with a fish that could go well? And it turned out to be very good when I tasted it in the kosher food.
Today we live in a world where there are many cooking trends that did not exist before. For example, paleo cooking. For example, molecular. What are your opinions on them, and what are the good or the bad points of each?
Well, I know the molecular world quite well. I think it's a very nice show. A lot of smoke. Every world has its good things. I do not experience the molecular culinary world because I believe that food should be on the plate and everything should be edible more than the show. tastes good, fresh, perfectly cooked, and ready to eat before the show takes part. And I believe in healthier cooking, in my opinion, is less in the molecular world.
And what about the paleo world that claims, the paleo cooking that claims to be the healthiest cuisine?
Well, coming from Israel, with all the cultures and all the colors and tradition, food tradition, I like, personally, I like to blend them in to one meal, and that's my style. So I don't think I'm one to give an opinion on any other kitchen. I do my own.
Okay, I can hear. If you have a choice to do anything you want, the client comes to you and says, Sarah, cook me what you think are your top dishes. Okay, you get absolutely no direction. I don't, he doesn't say, I want French, I want Italian, I want fusion. It's up to you. Let's say that it's a festive meal for 10 people. What would be your average, your menu that Sarah Black would like?
I can't get the chicken soup out of my system. But normally I would first approach the person and adjust the menu according to what the vibes I get from him. His own heritage, the area he came from, and I would really build a menu according to who he is, as opposed to my personal priorities.
Okay, let me rephrase that question. If I were to say, okay, I want you to build me a menu that would be Sarah Black's favorite menu, as if she was cooking for herself, 4-course menu, what would you do?
On the top of my head, first course, the appetizer would be a salmon carpaccio, very fresh and delicious carpaccio with a nice bread between, entree, I'd make a filet mignon, of course, with the side dishes, dessert.
What would be the side dishes?
Side dishes would be grilled vegetables, the asparagus, potatoes, simple potatoes, and a nice gravy for the beef.
What would you do for dessert?
Dessert from this meal, I do a coconut milk serene, dried fruit. Not too high on the sugar.
Okay, let's talk then about some of the experiences that you had. I am sure there must have been some very interesting experiences during your career. Some experiences that you probably would like to do without. Some experiences that most likely enriched your life. Can we hear something like that?
Well, there is an experience in this non-kosher seafood restaurant that I cooked in France. And I spent the whole day cooking, opening up the oysters, peeling the langoustine. And then, in the end of the day, the chef came up to me and said, come eat in my restaurant, which is a very big honor. I had no idea what to do, as I am a kosher. Took a salmon, wrapped it up really well, put it in the oven, cut up a nice Israeli salad, sat with the chef in the restaurant, and had whiskey. I had a kosher meal in a very non-kosher restaurant. It was quite good.
And who prepared the salmon? You did or the chef did?
I did.
That's why it was quite good. I had the pleasure today of tasting some of the food that he prepares at the demo, all based on chicken, and every single item was incredible all by itself. The complete collection of six different dishes that we had, made it an unforgettable meal. Obviously, you have the skills, obviously you have the passion for food, and obviously you like to make food that people will want to eat again and again and again. So, you told me already how you got started in cooking as the oldest of 10 children. I can hear that. Obviously, your mother needed help and you were there to do your part. But, okay, once you left that house, what exactly was it that kept you, driving you towards cooking, now that you no longer have to cook? You're on your own. Why continue with it?
I'm not really on my own. I take care of my daughter.
Yes, but you no longer have to cook for your brothers. Your mother is not there to force you to cook or make you feel guilty if you don't want to. Why still cooking?
I love cooking and I am very fortunate to love what I do. I turned it into a profession. The love of my life. And I believe in it. I'm glad to be in happy occasions. And I'm glad to bring my own interpretation to the kosher world, which I think meets.
There was a time when kosher food in America meant brisket. On Friday night, obviously, the filet fish. Knedlach and a few things for a Passover that were not particularly edible, but hey, there was nothing else we could eat. The kosher cuisine has evolved tremendously. It has adapted itself not just to where we live here in America, but it has brought in things from many other cuisines and adapted them to the Jewish kosher lifestyle. Why, for a long time, was it enough to eat all those boring foods, and why, all of a sudden, now, would you say, we're evolving further and further to create foods that even those who do not care for kosher would find absolutely delicious and would want to come back to again?
Well, you can ask the same question about music. Music always renews itself, it's always creative, and it's always welcome. Same way about food. Food is always in fashion. It's always necessary, and it keeps us alive. If you have a good meal, feel good. You have the best day. You'll review it. You'll talk about it. You'll tell your friends about it. Oh, I've had a great meal. I like to think of myself as an artist. It is a very creative world. I can express myself and give pleasure to other people.
Yes, there is no question that food is definitely an art. Anybody who's ever read my blog knows that I constantly refer to great chefs as great artists, whose canvas is the plate, whose colors are the food. But aside from that, fact is that unlike a painter who can do 4 or 5 paintings a year, a chef is constantly creating. A chef never stops. What is it that inspires you? Where do you draw your inspiration from to create new dishes or to create new variations of an old thing?
Well, I look, never afraid to learn from anyone. I'll watch a reality show and it'll take me to a new idea. and I listen to the people that work for me and get more ideas from them. I look on the internet, find pictures, take something that I really, really liked as a child and elevate it. Sometimes, you know, I can dream about food. And that is also a way of getting ideas or being creative. What inspires me? The restrictions. Can't do this? You'll do something else. Or find a way. Can't use butter and meat? You'll use margarine. Adjust it to the proper taste. And think outside of the box. And enjoy it.
Now, with all the saying that margarine is not the healthiest thing, what would you use instead?
I can use soy milk. Not on pesto, because it would kick me up. But I once made breaded veal and ran out of eggs. I used soy milk instead of everything. It was delicious. When you are limited or restricted, or you know, you have to find another alternative, anyone can find it.
Well, quite a few books have been written on all types of substitutes for the kosher world. A lot of the substitutes work as well or almost as well as the real thing. In some cases, they actually work better. So I guess the art of kosher means the art of substitution, from what you're telling me.
Sometimes. Not all the time. We don't need to substitute for anything in the filter dish. Set up the menu. Not the menu, instead of the bread.
But even during the year, a lot of the, for example, we happen to be in a French restaurant, a lot of the French recipes call for butter with the meat. Apparently the French do not know how to cook without butter. What would you use instead besides margarine, which is not the healthiest, and what would you use for a recipe that calls for heavy cream, for example?
If it is a tiramisu, for example, which is a very, very good Italian dessert, it requires not only heavy cream, but also mascarpone cheese. I would not put it on the menu if it's meat. I don't think there are things that transforming them into carbs will not do them justice. So there are many, many other options. A dessert that can resemble a tiramisu and not call it that. Sometimes it's wiser to avoid altogether than to try something like that, because it won't taste the same. We have to admit it.
One of the problems in the kosher world is that since most of us are not familiar with the original non-kosher versions, there are some restaurants, for example, who offer ossobuco. Yet, ossobuco in its traditional form could never be a kosher item. Of course, most of us would not know the difference. How would you respond to something like that? Somebody that calls his creation ossobuco, even though it does not resemble the real thing.
Well, I'll give you the example of the cordon bleu that I created today, which, and I mentioned that the original cordon bleu requires blue cheese and ham. today I created a kosher cordon bleu chicken dish.
Which happened to be absolutely delicious.
Yes. And one that is strictly kosher will not know the difference. But nevertheless, it was a good dish. So neither do I, by the way.
So just because it was inspired by the cordon bleu, according to what you just said, why would you continue calling this the kosher version of cordon bleu? It may be nothing like the original.
I call it cordon bleu style.
Okay.
The kosher style.
Okay, another question. If somebody wanted to start today on their path to become a professional chef, having gone through all the steps, having, I'm sure, like every other normal human, made your having great success and occasionally making a mistake, what would be your advice to somebody wanting to start as a chef?
Well, first of all, I think that most of my career, I've gone to culinary schools, I've gone around. Most of my studies were through physical work, seeing, you know, the hotels, restaurants, catering business, and just working. And I've learned so much more as opposed to sitting in a classroom and studying. So that is my first piece of advice. Go, explore, see the world, see the culture world. Take a trip to Israel. There's a lot going on there in the culinary world. And the second thing is just to make sure when you approach a restaurant or anything you want to do, make sure what we call it in the culinary world, we call it a mise en place. Have everything prepared ahead of time. And you'll find yourself very organized, not running around looking for things that you didn't think about, and having a great dish, whether it is a chicken dish or a dessert or dairy, whatever it is.
Now, I understand that you also run a business in Israel and in the States as a personal chef. I am sure that with Pesach approaching, you must have had many, many calls as to being a personal chef for Pesach, whether in Israel or in the States. What would you do, for example, for a Seder? What would you do for Chol HaMoed? And what would you do differently or in addition to for the last days?
For Seder night, or both Seder nights, depends where we are, I would keep it very, very traditional, according to the family that actually taking this privilege. And the plate would be really according to what they would want. The whole meal, I wouldn't keep it very heavy on the meat because it is a long evening.
And we do drink 4 cups of wine.
Yes, and a lot of matzah.
A lot of matzah.
But I provide fish and chicken more than meat. A lot of vegetables, salads of all sorts, not cooked, but maybe steamed or lightly sautéed. And for Chol HaMoed, I would have a barbecue. barbecue meal. Have maybe even a dairy meal for second days of Yom Tov. That could be good and very much appreciated after so many days
of having fried meat.
Although cheese is not always lighter.
Right. Depending on the cheese.
Yes. Depending on what comes with the cheese.
Right. Okay. How does somebody get in touch with you if they want your services?
Well, I can be looked up at chefsarahblack.com, SARABLACK.com.
Sarah without the H.
Yes. And the full website, gallery, and contact information. And I will always answer personally.
Let's talk a little bit about your catering. You already told us what you would do for Passover. But let's say that somebody comes to you with a specific request for a specific cuisine. And let us say that it is a cuisine you have not done very much with. How would you go about preparing for that cuisine? How would you go about making it seem authentic?
Okay, I have been approached that way. It was an event in the Kotel Tunnels for Mr. Michashvili, who is a very big donor. And he is Georgian. And as people may know, the Georgian culture requires a lot of food on the table, and very colorful, and very, very close to the way they eat it in their homeland. It was a very prestigious event, and chief rabbis attended, members of the Knesset attended, respectful people. So I had contacted a woman that I knew who was actually a cook, and she was originally from Georgia. And I built the menu with her. I had her come and prepare the most traditional dishes, and I've worked with her, and it was a huge success. Baruch Hashem.
What were some of the dishes that you prepared?
Okay, so they wanted whole fish, like they required entrecote, good steak. They had all their traditional salads and dips. Fresh tuna balls, very spicy, and their desserts.
What did the desserts consist of? How did they differ from desserts you would have made on different occasions?
Well, in Georgia, they have a lot of walnuts. They use them a lot in every single dish, almost, that they create. They have it a lot in their desserts. And they have a special baklava that they create. They had all the marshmallows and the sweet coconut desserts. A lot of food coloring. But they never forgot their walnuts.
Food coloring, you mean not the natural colors of the food?
Yes.
Okay, what type of color schemes did they use?
He used green, pink, red. They like it very, very colorful. Alongside with the design of the table, a lot of gold, and which I had to take part in, of course, also.
and flowers.
Okay, and we are just about out of time. I want to thank you for coming on our show. I want to thank you for a very, very interesting broadcast. And there are a million questions I would have liked to ask, but Father Time does not allow it. I'd love to do this again sometime soon. Thank you very much. Good night, one and all.
Good night.
Please stay tuned for the second half of tonight's program with Vicky Rothschild, Weight Management Counselor par excellence.
Good evening, Vicky.
Hi, how are you?
Baruch Hashem.
Good.
It's interesting that I have a weight management program right after I had a pre-taped program with an Israeli chef, a gourmet chef, but...
Well, I like
anyway.
To say we're gourmet chefs too. Myself and my clients are gourmet chefs too. We cook up some yummy, yummy stuff.
Okay, let's talk about it. First,
okay,
how did you come to this profession?
Well, I struggled with super morbid obesity for many, 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 many years. After one day of being sick and tired of being sick and tired, I decided to lose the weight. A little bit more went into that thought, but since we are limited in time, I'll just say... I decided to do it differently this time after struggling for so many years. I said, I'm going to go to a nutritionist. So I went from nutritionist to nutritionist, but they couldn't help me. They told me what to eat, but they didn't tell me how to not eat the other stuff, and that was always a problem. One of them told me to have as much protein as I wanted. I said, wow, that's great. I could have as much of something as I wanted. Okay, as much protein. It's not pizza and chocolate chip cookies, but it's something. How comforting. But I said, how could eating as much protein as I want, how will that get me to lose weight? So she said to me, she held up her hand and she shows me her palm. She said, well, a normal size piece of protein is the size of the inside of your palm, about 3 ounces, a deck of cards. So what will you want, 4 ounces, 5 ounces? And I'm like, no, I'd want, I don't know, 4 chicken breasts, 3 pieces of salmon. You see, my wants were much higher than hers. So when you say to me, I want as much, have as much as I want, that's just not going to work. She's a nutritionist. She's always been health conscious. Her wants were much lower. I said, that's it. I'm the one that's got myself into this mess. I'm the only one that can get myself out. They couldn't help me. At that point, I sat down and methodically figured out, how in the world can I get this weight off? Clearly, a lot of things needed to change. I needed to lose over 165 pounds. At this point, I sat down and methodically figured out, how in the world can I get the weight off? I had two non-negotiables. My non-negotiables were I could never be hungry, and I have to eat ridiculously delicious food. And that is how my entire plan came to be. We did some tweaking and honing, and that's how it all came to be. And 10 months later, I had lost 154 pounds. I kept it that way for 2 months and then took it down another 11 pounds 2 months later. People started to ask me, Vicky, how in the world did you lose so much weight? I started mentoring people, and boom, a business was formed. I became passionate about eating well, and the rest is history, as they say. It's 7.5 years later, and here I am.
You said you became passionate about eating well. Tell me, what is your average breakfast like?
Okay, I eat, it's almost a pound of food. Most people will have a yogurt and a banana, which is about 7-8 ounces of food, maybe 10 ounces. I have about a pound of food. It's four egg white omelets with almost an entire zucchini, a half of a pepper, onions, mushrooms, garlic, onion, just delicious, delicious, satiating, filling, stick-with-you foods. So that's a scrumptious, scrumptious meal. Mm-hmm.
When you say egg white omelet, you mean you get rid of the yolks?
Oh, I certainly do get rid of the yolks. Mm-hmm. Yep. Each egg white has 17 calories and 3.6 grams of protein. So I'm keeping the good stuff and getting rid of the other stuff.
Okay. That sounds like a heavy breakfast, much heavier than I would dare have myself.
We need to start building up our stomach. People say they need quick in the morning. They're not that hungry in the morning. But you see, everybody's also walking around with an empty stomach, and that's the problem. If you keep your stomach full, and it has to start in the morning. It doesn't have to be at 7 o'clock in the morning. It could be at 11 o'clock in the morning. But when you have your breakfast, start filling up your stomach. Everybody's walking around just getting by. They don't know, they're not quite hungry, they're not quite full. They're getting by, and then they cave in as the day goes. Everything should be nice and filling.
And since you said at the beginning that you also consider yourself a gourmet chef, what would you do for dinner? And I'm talking about an average dinner. We're not talking when you have a gazillion people over. Just an average dinner.
An average dinner? Okay. Zucchini, let's say dill, lemon, mustard, salmon. With perhaps we could start off with a cauliflower, garlic, zucchini soup. With it, I love to make Szechuan string beans. I make string beans with ginger and garlic and soy sauce and hot sauce. Just delicious, delicious piles and piles and piles of vegetables. People are eating a piece of chicken and a half of a sweet potato, and they're starving. I'm eating piles and piles of food. My stomach is continuously full. I have very high resistance and high resolve when I see the chocolate and the pasta. I could care less. My stomach is so full, and I'm eating such highly palatable, delicious foods. You're not going to lose weight eating canned string beans and rice cakes. You just can only do that for so long.
I remember a few years ago when I was trying... I remember a few years ago when I was trying to lose about 30 pounds. It almost killed me. I had all these horrible, horrible tasting powders. If you gave me $1 million to tell you which one tasted worse, I would lose the $1 million because they were all horrible. I couldn't possibly choose the worst. I lived on 1,200 calories a day, and it almost killed me.
Absolutely. How are you going to...
But I did lose it.
Okay, but did you keep it off?
Yes, I managed to keep it off.
Okay, good. So, see, we don't manage. We do really well. We are totally satisfied. It's not a hardship. It's not a battle. We're eating ridiculously delicious food. We're not surviving. We're not living and getting by and managing on powdered drinks, on a yogurt, on grabbing a this. We're having full, satiating, delicious, delicious meals. It's not canned string beans. It's not styrofoam cakes. Everything is delicious. A snack for me at night, I could take an apple, I slice it paper thin on a mandolin, I add in some blueberries, some vanilla, some cinnamon, I bake it in the oven for about 20 minutes, I sit down to this hot, piping hot, steaming, delicious, 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 filling meal. It's a little mini meal.
It does sound scrumptious, absolutely.
It's scrumptious, and it takes seconds to prepare. That's how we could resist the chocolate, the chips, the this, the that. How am I going to do it if I'm grabbing, you've got to eat delicious foods. Delicious foods that fill up your stomach.
Okay, let me ask
that is the secret to weight loss, permanent weight loss.
Okay, let me ask you a different question. It is a known fact that taste, the flavor of the food, is mostly in the fat. Now, let's face it, eating fat is not ideal. How do you manage to make delicious food without the fat?
Well,
or at least controlling the fat.
I beg to differ. Fat does not have flavor. Fat has texture. I'm sorry, you're mistaken on that. Fat does not have flavor. It has texture. We take food and we make it taste better. We take plain food, let's say a chicken cutlet, and make it taste better with more food. That's food, not fake food. You've got lemon juice. You've got lime juice. You've got cumin and chili powder and parsley and sage and basil. You make your food taste delicious. That's what spices are all about. The cooking methods also make it delicious. If you're gonna broil to death, it's going to be dry and disgusting. People bake their chicken to death. It's not palatable. Make your food taste delicious with more delicious food. Fat does not have flavor. That is a big fallacy. It has texture. That I will give you. You make your food taste delicious with more delicious real food. Eat food. Real food. It doesn't come in a package. It doesn't come in a box. It's something that you buy by the pound. Food, the way it was intended to be eaten. Go on.
Let's say that somebody comes to you and they are, for the sake of argument, 100 pounds overweight. They've been trying for a long, long time to lose the weight. They have tried just about every diet, every fad, and while they lost a little, they always managed to gain it right back and then some.
Right.
Obviously, this is a person that, aside from eating the wrong food, aside from everything else, also does not have the discipline to do things right.
Okay.
How do you deal
so
with somebody like that?
We work on that, and they have the discipline, because if you have it in other areas, you have it. If you put your seatbelt on when you drive in a car, you have discipline. If you check your mirror before you pull out of a parking spot, you have discipline. We work on it. We build it. It's a muscle. It's very weak. We're going to keep growing it and growing it and growing it so it's strong. And I give them the tools to get their discipline in check. We give them tools. I set you up with a toolbox. We've got plenty. I always have a new trick up my sleeve. We have methods for keeping it in place. And again, it's just I also teach them that taste is not, you know, you have to value your life more than your taste buds. We keep building and building, and little things form in the head. A lot of people eat out of emotions. They're stressed and they turn to food. Well, I give them other things to do when they're stressed. Who knew that not eating would give you more comfort, joy, and pleasure than eating? But it takes time, so we do have to build that up. This is not a plan you're going to get a day or a week. We're not going to cure you in a week or two. We're going to keep building and building lifetime habits. We're going to gain that discipline. This is about permanent weight loss. I don't need it off fast. We need it off permanently. We'll get fast, too. That's okay. But I'm interested in permanent lifetime habits. I'm going to have everybody, I have my clients falling in love with eating well. People have to stop thinking that it has to be delicious or healthy. Make it both.
Okay,
go on.
How does that person control the quantity, or in this case, the quantity doesn't make a difference?
Of course the quantity makes a difference. Eating more of a healthy food is not going to make you any healthier. It's just going to make you fat. So they have a budget that they must adhere to, and we keep pushing them and pushing them. I give them tools. We talk about self-talk. It's okay to tell yourself no. You can tell yourself no. It's okay to tell yourself no. That's something that we need to learn. Discipline is a good thing. It makes your life easier, not harder. So I can't keep planting seeds. They keep hearing this, and maybe she's got a point there. We turn to water. We turn to tea. That's it, Vicky. You've had your meal. No more. Get up. Put your plate and fork and knife away. You're done. It's okay. And then the next time, it gets easier and easier and easier. And I'm not saying no to the food. I'm saying yes to me. It's not no to the food, but yes to me, to a better life. Don't focus on what you're giving up, all that quick, yummy food. Focus on what you're gaining, self-confidence, self-respect, self-worth, dignity, stamina, productivity. Don't overestimate what you're giving up, that food, and certainly stop underestimating what you're going to gain by giving it up. You get so much more back. Integrity, pride, I could go on and on with what you're gaining. So we keep working on that too.
Okay, but let us say that the particular person is used to a 40-ounce steak.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, most of us would never be able to finish that, but this particular individual has no problem. How do we cut him down to a normal size?
A 4-ounce steak?
With that, 40-ounce steak.
A 40-ounce, at some point you have to value your life more than your taste buds.
I understand that, but how do we fix it so that the person does not feel starved if they go down to, let's say, 12-ounce steak?
Starved? They won't be hungry. That's why we keep their stomachs full. They might feel like eating more, but they will not be hungry. So So instead of having a 40-ounce, that's why I'm eating a pound. My breakfast is a pound. That's why my dinner is a pound of string beans. I'm keeping my stomach full. I'm eating just as much food, but it's lower calories per ounce food than that steak, than those potatoes, than that rice and pasta. We're keeping their stomach full. They are not going to be hungry. No one starves on my plan, just the opposite. They're more full and content than ever before. We change the way they think, and we change the foods that they're eating. They're not getting less. They're getting more.
Okay. You just mentioned you changed the way they think. Obviously, somebody who has been very heavy for years needs a psychological readjustment to be able to feel satisfied with a different type of food, less food, and so on.
Right.
Are you trying to tell me then that you also readjust their mind, that you also work on their psychological needs?
100%. You change the way you think and you change your life. If you change nothing, then nothing changes. Yes, we work on the headspace big time, and we can't fix that in a week. But we're going to keep planting seeds, and every time they're going to say, oh, I never thought of it that way. Every week I've got new inspiration, new motivation, new ideas, new recipes. I show them the visual. I take pictures of all my foods. We get them excited. This is not a miserable, horrible way to live. It's an exciting, wonderful way to live. This is no prison sentence. The fat suit is the prison sentence. That's the ball and chain, not eating well. Eating well is what we're supposed to do, but we just got a little bit sidetracked from it with all this overabundance of horrible foods out there. Eating well, it turns out, is a good thing. It's a blessing and a privilege. We're just going to keep changing the way we think, slowly and slowly. We're going to retrain those taste buds. When you get rid of the sugar, fat, and salt, your taste buds open up. If you would have told me years ago to eat an apple, I would have laughed in your face. You know that I have clients that cannot eat red peppers because they're too sweet. They can only eat the green ones. That's how they retrained their taste buds. This is how food was intended to be eaten. I'm not one of them. I like my red peppers, but there are certain clients that cannot eat a red pepper anymore. They're just too sweet for them. These are people that had lifetime, they've tried every diet out there. I'm most proud of that. People that have been on every single plan, OA, Atkins, Weight Watchers. I am most proud of that. And to see what they're doing for their families, I am very blessed to have been able to do this for people. To see people serving their families. I mean, we just went through Purim. You should see people send me pictures constantly of what their suda looked like. It's stunning. People have to stop thinking that it has to be delicious or healthy. Let's make it both.
Okay, that is certainly goes against the grain of traditional thinking.
Well, that's
I understand
right.
that.
If you want what you do not have, you must do what you have not done. That's it. It's all in the thought process. Change your thoughts and change your world. And believe me, they come to see this. And again, it's not going to happen in a week. It is a buildup. I'm after permanent weight loss. Somebody loses 30 pounds, 50 pounds. Sorry, it doesn't impress me. Let's talk in 5 years. We're talking about
meaning,
permanent weight loss.
Meaning, let's talk in 5 years to see how much, if anything, they gained.
Well, yes, absolutely. We want permanent weight loss. Anybody could lose weight, but we want it off permanently. We want you falling in love with this so that you don't ever want to go off of it. This is not some diet that you're on and then you lose your weight and you go off of it and you go back to normal. We're creating a new normal for you, a new healthy, delicious, vivacious, energized new normal for you. No one feels deprived here. The old way of living was being deprived.
Right.
This is no
That's
deprivation.
Traditional dieting.
Deprivation. I'm sorry?
Yeah, the traditional dieting is depriving the person of whatever.
Well, yeah, but you can't live on deprivation very long. Some people could do it for a few weeks. Heck, some people could do it for a few months. You cannot deprive yourself. You have to treat yourself well, and treating yourself well means to treat yourself well with the right foods. make it delicious, absolutely scrumptious, but keep it healthy. I have hundreds and hundreds of mouth-watering recipes. People ooh and ah at what we're eating. Their guests ooh and ah. Wow, how'd you make this? Where'd you get this? What'd you do to this? It's fabulous. It's good stuff.
How do you develop your recipes? Is it a passion for cooking or is it a passion for eating?
I think it was both. I think back in the day, I felt so poorly about myself. One of the only things I did do well was entertain and cook. In fact, that was one of my, I'm like, how can I give this up? I did like to entertain, but I very quickly into this, I saw, wait a second, anybody could eat my food. So yes, it came from, I used my love of food to my advantage. How can I make this delicious without tacking on calories? And I did. And almost every week I have a brand new recipe for you. Almost every week. Pictures, it's fabulous.
How do you get your recipes?
I kind of come up with them. I make this thing, what's a new recent one is a cauliflower zucchini roasted garlic soup. We just came up with a cabbage, a delicious, delicious cabbage frittata, just scrumptious. Cabbage and onions, it's just delicious. A little soy sauce, a little hit of pepper, it's scrumptious, mouth-watering. I just did a zucchini ribbons and carrot ribbons. It's like eating pasta. We do a lot with roasted tomatoes. They are so flavorful. Cooking methods also brings out the natural sugars in food. So cooking methods are very important too. Really, that is the key, to eat delicious, delicious foods and lots of it. You can't walk around on an empty stomach eating rice cakes and canned string beans. You just can't do it. I don't care how badly you want to lose weight. I don't care how healthy you want to be. There's only so long you can go like that.
In listening to you, I hear the enthusiasm, the extreme passion, the belief in what you're saying, and I can see how you would instill that in your clients.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We work on it, and they all sound just like me. I always tell them they could switch chairs with me. It is a delight. It is a delight to see them like this, just delightful. To have people that their cravings are gone. They're gone. They don't understand it. It sounds like voodoo. It sounds ridiculous. But that's what happens. When you keep that stomach full, it is amazing how your taste buds and your head catch up. And before you know it, your cravings vanish. Vanish. And yes, we just had Purim, so yes, so what did I tell my clients? Wait, let's plan a splurge. This is a perfect time to plan an indulgence. So we do it mindfully and responsibly. So here we are. Today is Wednesday. So I had clients come in. Sunday was the – so we had clients Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I can't tell you how many losses we had. It was just – it's just – it's awesome. I also send out two emails. I also give incredible, incredible amounts of support and encouragement. I stay on top of my clients constantly. I send out a Monday email that I call Motivating Monday, and that's to get everybody pumped for the week. And there's always something inspirational there, new information, educational. And on Fridays, I send out something that I call Feel Good Friday. I talk about the successes for the week, and I get them pumped to stay on plan for Shabbat. I teach them how to honor the Sabbath without doing dishonor to yourself. So that keeps them very motivated. There's always good stuff in there. And, I'm on top of my clients. Absolutely, positively.
And
the best
how many years
they will ever have.
And how many years have you been working with clients?
Well, when I hit goal, and my goal is actually to keep this off forever. So, but when I let's say when I hit that number, because I hate to say goal, because again, my goal is to keep it off forever. We'll talk. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll talk when I'm 90, God willing, and you know, then all bets might be off. But for the time being. I did it almost immediately. So I've been doing this about, I've had the business, per se, about, it's close to 7 years.
During that time, I am sure there must have been some interesting stories, some funny stories, some heartwarming stories. Care to share any with us?
I can't think of any in particular, but I also have something like on Fridays, I told you about this email that I send out, and I call it NSVs, our non-scale victories. So just this week, a client told me, and yes, I have permission to tell it as long as I don't use her name, she's a school teacher, and she's doing phenomenally, a lifetime dieter, a woman in her 50s. She's a teacher. Thank goodness she's a pre-1A teacher with little girls. Her skirt fell right on the floor, right down to her ankles. And they said, Maura, Maura, your skirt. It's not, no harm was done. She was wearing tights and boots, but yes, she was embarrassed, but it felt great. Her skirt fell down. These are just wonderful, wonderful things that happen. The pride of nothing tastes as good as being healthy feels.
Okay. Obviously, health is an obligation.
An obligation. That's what it brought to you. Many people think it's
absolutely.
Not.
Absolutely. Well, it is. Absolutely. From the point of view of the Torah, absolutely. We are not allowed to do anything that might harm us.
We seem to forget that when it comes to food.
Yes, absolutely. Food seems to be the biggest addiction in all the wrong ways.
But let's use our love of food to our advantage. And stop thinking it has to be healthy or delicious. Make delicious foods. That's what it was intended to be. But we don't have to smother it in fat and mayonnaise and oil to make it taste good. You don't have to put duck sauce all over your chicken. One cup of oil has 1,908 calories. So people tell me, but I only use about a half a cup in my salad. Okay, so then you do the math. That's about 950 calories that you're adding to your salad.
954, right.
Well, yeah, you're talking, it's not 1,908 calories in one cup of oil. One cup of oil.
Yeah.
That's in a blink of an eye. You don't realize what that is. People add a cup of mayonnaise to their broccoli kugel. You're adding 820 calories to 320 calories worth of broccoli. Stop thinking it needs fat to be delicious. Caramelized onions in a teaspoon of oil, delicious.
Okay, and how many calories are there?
In what? I'm sorry. Well, an onion is about
the caramelized onions.
Well, an onion is a medium onion is about 40 calories. You want to use two onions? There's 80. You need a little bit of oil to cook. First of all, that's another thing. People think that vegetables need oil to cook. Have you ever baked a potato? You wrap it in tin foil, and you put it in the oven, and it comes out as soft as can be. There's no oil in there. Food does not need oil to cook. It needs heat. So I teach new cooking methods. We get the natural flavors going, and that's what we do. Basil, sage, fennel, things like butternut squash. We're just eating scrumptious foods. Beets are fantastic. Make them paper thin. They're like chips.
So how do people get in touch with you? How can they find you?
Okay. I've got a phone number. I've got an email address. I'm on Facebook.
Tell us about your phone number. Tell us about your email address.
I'm sorry?
I
didn't hear what you said.
Okay. Tell us your phone number. Tell us the email address.
Okay,
I am sure many of our listeners would like to get in touch with you.
Okay. I will work on every issue you have, every excuse I will find. And it's not an excuse to people. They're reasons. So we're going to give them legitimate time. They're entitled to have their reasons. But we're going to find a solution. When you lose 165 pounds, you need to come up with solutions. And that's what we do. I can be reached at 917-533-1794. Very, very flexible hours. My email address, it's a long one because I got a long name, vickirothschild@gmail.com. That's Vicky Rothschild at gmail.com, 917-533-1794. I don't care how many diets you've tried. We all have the ability to do it and to do it well. End the battle, fall in love with it, the battle will end.
Once we accustom ourselves to the idea that we can eat deliciously without overdoing it. Yes, I understand.
I'm not telling anyone to be starving. Don't be starving. You're not going to be starving. And there is a matter of, there is an adjustment. It's, you know, until it's routine, let's get it down pat. Let's find some breakfast that we love. Let's find a few lunches that we love. Let's make it routine. What's so hard about change?
Now, let me ask you one question.
That's what's hard about change. We're not accustomed to it. So we do. There is a transition stage. You're going to have to become accustomed to it. And I will walk you through every step. I will hold your hand every step of the way. You can email me, call me. There's no limit to questions. There's no limit to help. No limits. No questions too silly. Nothing is too bizarre. Nothing. Nothing.
One question. And
sure.
We will be just about out of time. But
okay.
Here's the question. You mentioned the omelet that you make.
Mm-hmm.
What if so-and-so does not care for an omelet? Is there something else he can eat in the mornings?
Absolutely,
or
positively.
Is there a set?
Absolutely, positively. First of all, there's umpteen different ways to make an omelet. I've also come up with a fantastic oatmeal pancake. We also do with blueberries and apples and cinnamon and vanilla extract. You could also do a luscious bowl of oatmeal. We're going to make it with blueberries and vanilla extract and cinnamon. We're going to make it delicious without piling on the calories. We're going to make it taste better with more delicious, filling foods. We'll work on it. But you do need to also give your taste buds a chance to readjust. And that omelet, I can make it for you 15 different ways. Put in roasted tomatoes. You've never tasted anything as luscious. Master it. I also cook for my clients. I make these omelets all day long for my clients. So we get it. Until they want to get it down pat, I will. You know, we're more than happy to do it for them.
Okay, and we're just about out of time.
Okay.
It's been a very interesting show. There were a lot more questions I would have liked to ask, but Father Time has its problems.
Next time,
Be'ezrat Hashem. Thank you very, very much
for being welcome on
our show. We truly enjoyed it. Thank you very, very much. And good night, one and all.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.